Welcome to Lourdes, where it is a fine day, quite breezy, not warm, but the forecast is encouraging. If you haven't heard via another route, Eton have won the toss and have elected to bat first. So Harrow are out on the outfield just bowling a few balls at their wicketkeeper, whilst Eton are getting themselves ready to bat. We are, as ever, the wicket is quite near the mound stand and the tavern stand. It's the furthest wicket over to that side, so a relatively short boundary on one side. There goes the bell. I'm not sure who's ringing it. One of the stewards, I think. No one famous ringing the bell today, as happens at Test matches. And so today's umpires are Mr. McKenzie and Mr. Pearson, and they will be coming out onto the pitch fairly quickly. I would expect Eton's opening batsmen to be Jamie Abbott and Teddy James. So, put you in the picture as far as the history of this match is concerned. It's the longest, the fixture that has been played for the longest at one particular ground, so it has a place in history. I don't know if the boys are aware of all the history. They may not know that over the years since 1805, it has been played 173 times. Eton have won the match 56 times. There have been 67 draws, and Harrow have won 50 times. Now, draws are no longer possible. For the last 10 years, if not 12 now, it's been a limited overs game. And so it's always going to be a result which encourages positive play. It's a 55 overs per side, 11 overs per bowler. The Harrow team is probably more experienced. I think about 6 or 7 of their team have played last year, whereas for Eton, only 3 of the Eton team played last year. My name is Andrew Miles, and I'm joined by Joe. Welcome, Joe.
Good morning, Andy. Good morning. Lovely day to be at Lourdes. It's partly sunny. It's very, very breezy, but fortunately no sign of rain at the moment, and a good crowd starting to build up to our left in the mound stand. The umpires and the players are on their way out, and as you say, Eton have chosen to bat first. Expected, do you think?
I talked to their master in charge of the 11 this morning, and he thought that it was a good day to bat first, so they certainly would have wanted to win the toss. Nick Castleman, the Harrow captain, has led the Harrow team down the steps out of the long room and onto the outfield. The openers from Eton joined them, and they're all making their way into the middle in an organised way. I think the Harrow team know exactly where they're going to field. They seem to be heading straight to their fielding positions. It looks like they will be opening the bowling from the nursery ground end.
Yep, full sunshine now, and I think we're playing on wicket number 18 from memory. If you picture Lourdes from the media centre end, it's on the very far left of the square. It will be, as you say, Jamie Abbott and Teddy James to open. The bowling is going to be from the nursery end.
Yeah. Do we know who's opening the bowling?
It's going to be Lalit Bose to open the bowling right arm fast. We're reliably informed he did play last year, and looks like he's going to be right arm over. All the signs are there for right arm over. A smattering of members in the pavilion taking their seats at the moment. The grandstand away to our right is closed today.
Well, so I'll just run you through the field. We've got a wicketkeeper and 2 slips. We've got a fairly square third man on the fairly short boundary down there. We've got point, we've got extra cover, mid off, and then a mid wicket, a square leg just behind square, and a fine leg. Umpire calls play, and we're off for the start of the match. In he comes, bowls, and it's defended stoutly by Jamie Abbott, who takes the first ball. It's on or about off stump, so we're underway. There'll be a few nerves out there, I expect. Eaton will be hoping to get a good start from these two. Experienced batsmen, both of them. They've both scored some runs this season. I think Jamie Abbott is our top run scorer so far. I think he's scored over 300 runs during the season. And in he comes, and as off the mark, Jamie Abbott turns it off his hip. They take a single, goes down to fine leg, and the scoreboard is ticking over. I'm sure it feels good to get off the mark.
Yeah, it certainly will do. Nice, easy little glance to leg there. Very short boundary to our left. Not much more than 40, 45 yards from the square of the boundary, and the rope brought in a long way on the right-hand side. So plenty of options for a right-hander facing from this nursery end to try and get the ball through the covers.
So James to face his first ball. And that's almost a repeat of the first ball. It's defended off the front foot, stoutly and solidly into the middle of the pitch. It's picked up by a bevy of excited fielders, and there's no run.
That's three different balls we've seen now. Regulation length to start, a clip going down leg on the second, and that one much, much fuller.
Yeah. So, fourth ball of the first over, if you've just started listening. It's defended again, and well fielded by the man coming around from mid-wicket, sliding around to cover the gap where there is no mid on, so he needed to be fairly sharp there to prevent a little single down the ground, but it was never hit with much power, so he had time just to slide round and stop it. Lots of encouragement from his friends in the field, lots of clapping and talking and geeing each other up. In comes the bowler, and it's a good ball, a good opening over. So far, four dot balls and a single, on or about off stump, fairly well pitched up. This is a wicket that was used yesterday actually for the university's final where Durham beat Cambridge. Lots of runs scored yesterday. Durham scored over 300 and Cambridge nearly chased it down but fell short just at the end, so plenty of runs in this wicket. Let's see if he can finish off the over with a good ball. Ooh, it's well pitched up. There's no runs there. It was dug out, I would say. It was probably just missing leg stump, but it was definitely Yorker length.
Yeah, solid enough start, unspectacular from both bowler and batsman. We should say a warm welcome to everyone listening on the headsets in the ground this morning. You're very welcome. Hello to you. And also, if you're listening online, via the Lords website, lords.org. We would be grateful for any comments you might have. The email address is ballbyball@lords.org. Get in touch with us and we'll try and get any comments you have on air.
So it is McIntyre to bowl from the pavilion end. He's bowling left arm over the wicket. So Hamish McIntyre to start his bowling from the pavilion end, just in line with the Harrow dressing room, who've got the England dressing room this year. It rotates each year, so because we're at the far side of the square, this is exactly in line with the England dressing room. In he comes, left arm over the wicket, to Jamie Abbott. It's probably just short of a length, outside off stump, and played into the covers. There's no run there, so the score is still one for no wicket. We've had one over and one ball, and it's Jamie Abbott facing.
55 overs per side, to remind people who are just joining us. We're going to have lunch at one and then tea after 25 overs at the second innings.
So in comes McIntyre. Abbott thinks about playing a shot and then gets onto the front foot and then pulls his bat out of the way at the last minute. It goes through to the wicketkeeper, who is playing, I think, in his fifth match at Lords. He's played every year since he joined Harrow. Robbie White. Oh no, third match. Sorry, I'm corrected. It's his third year at Lords, so he will have, you'll know what it's like here. There's a more of a shot from Abbott. He's forced it through a gap in the covers. It's, I think, well stopped down on the boundary. They've got a comfortable two runs there. Umpires just have a look, but it's stopped securely. He didn't step over the rope at the same time. So Abbott goes up to three. The score goes up to three.
That ball seemed to accelerate up the slope as it got further and further towards the boundary.
I think it helped that it was running across what was most of the square, so it must be pretty quick across the rest of the square. It's almost a repeat, not quite timed by Abbott this time, and it's picked up safely in the covers. There's no run. Some Harrow boys just beginning to arrive in the tavern stand. We've got slightly less far to travel. The Eton boys have done an exam this morning. They're in the middle of school exams, so they will be coming down after their first exam, hopefully arriving soon. It's a slight edge that goes straight into the ground and is picked up by backward point from that ball by Abbott. Nothing risky there, just slightly off the outside of the bat. We have got a ring in action today, so I think the rule is that there must be four fielders inside the ring at all times. Of course, at the moment, with two slips and a backward point, extra cover, mid-off and mid-wicket, there are more than that. That's quite a wide delivery, and it is signalled as a wide. So McIntyre just losing direction slightly. It's well wide of the off stump, left alone by the batsman Abbott.
Yeah, we've got the wide guideline markers for the umpires, as we do in most cricket these days, and that one just shaded outside of it.
So, see if he can get his direction right this time. That's a much better ball, just back of a length. It's defended fairly comfortably by Jamie Abbott, and that's the end of the second over. The score is 4 for no wicket, and I would think both teams would be reasonably content with how life has gone so far. Harrow hoping for an early wicket perhaps, but Eton batting solidly.
Yeah, we've seen some decent pace from both the opening bowlers. And speaking of opening bowlers, Lalit Bose, who's about to bowl his second over, our colleague here, Joe, has just raised a very good quiz question for us, because Lalit Bose not only is opening the bowling, but he's down to open the batting. Whether he will or not, we're unsure, but it does raise a very interesting question, which I'll ask in a moment.
So Bose comes in. There's a big appeal for LBW. Looked like it was just going down leg side from here. Heart in mouth time for Teddy James, who's still on naught.
It did look a little bit leg side, that.
And in fact, the appeal came and went fairly quickly. I think the fielders knew that it was probably missing leg stump, but it doesn't hurt to get a big appeal in and just get in the mind of the batsman. It's always different for the boys. They're not used to playing at Lords, of course. It's not their home ground, and it's a big occasion for them. So there's plenty of nerves around, even for these high-quality cricketers. Oh, and now I'll have to talk you through that one. Teddy James played a fairly solid defensive shot. It went straight to mid-wicket. They thought about a single, and so Jamie Abbott was just out of his ground. Mid-wicket picked the ball up, flung it at the stumps, missed the stumps. No one was backing up at the bowler's end, and it went for four overthrows.
Well, that was a valiant attempt. That was Viresh Patel, I believe, at mid-wicket there, having a go at the non-striker's end. He threw it with some velocity, and to be fair, the man backing up on the other side didn't really have much chance.
So, four runs to Eton. The next ball comes down. It's defended into the covers, and there's nothing quite so exciting that over. You can hear a loud noise. There's a helicopter hovering overhead, which is coming up on our outside effects microphone, which is getting blown around in the breeze as well. So there's plenty of noise around the ground yet, even though the crowd is only slowly building. In due course, there'll be about 600 boys from each school, and it will get slightly noisier this afternoon, I would think. Well, the helicopter drifts away, and we're ready for the next ball. It's short of a length, on the stumps, and defended by Teddy James, who of course has now got four against his name, courtesy of a defensive shot to mid-wicket, which went for four overthrows. They count towards the batsman, so he'll be feeling a little bit more confident and comfortable.
He will. So the quiz question is, when was the last time that someone opened the batting and bowling in this match? If we presume that Lalit Bose will open the batting later on.
Oh, I'll have to have a think about that one. Oh, there's a big appeal. It's pitched just possibly. It's a bit of a repeat of the first ball where it was just going down leg side. It's hit Teddy James almost full on the foot. And a more convincing appeal perhaps from Howard this time. But again, the umpire is unmoved. So he can survive. And there is one ball left in the third over. The score is still 8 for no wicket. And the helicopter's back. Right, in he comes, he bowls. It's well pitched up, but slightly overpitched. And Teddy James clips it off his legs. There's a chase down to the boundary, the mid-wicket boundary, which the ball is going to win. So that's a genuine four this time for Teddy James, who'll feel better about having timed that one nicely down to the mid-wicket boundary. So at the end of the third over, the score is 12 for no wicket. And Teddy James is on 4, Jamie Abbott is on 3. And they're having a chat in the middle of the wicket. I'm going to make way.
Thank you, Andy. Yeah, a genuine 4 there from Teddy James. This time through mid-wicket after the bonus four of the overthrows previous to that, so he'll be feeling pretty good with life. He's got 8 now. Jamie Abbott's back on strike, and it's going to be McIntyre to continue from the pavilion end, left arm over, and he bowls just outside the off stump, and that's a slash down through the gully third man region. They'll come through for a comfortable single as third man runs round to do the fielding. Abbott moves on to the score up to 13 without loss. So good morning, Joe.
Morning, Jamie. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Yourself?
Yes, I'm good. I'm enjoying the sunshine. It's very, very windy, so we're going to be positive about that and say if there are any rain clouds around, they're going to be blown away.
They are indeed. Still two slips in place for McIntyre as he comes in now and bowls on middle and leg to James, who clips that away through mid-wicket. A comfortable single. And he moves on to 9, the score up to 14. Looks like there's some decent pace in the wicket so far.
Yes, it seems to be going through quite nicely to the wicketkeeper. Must be a nice way for James to get off the mark. He seems to have grown in a bit of confidence after getting the four overthrows.
Here comes McIntyre again, and this one's left alone outside the off stump by Abbott. There's no run.
Yes, there's with this very, very short boundary on the leg side to the right-handed James, right-handed Abbott. Sorry, at the moment there's a tendency that to drift everything over to the offside, and problem with that is that go wide.
Yeah, there are vast expanses away on the offside at the moment. Here's McIntyre again to Abbott. This one's on leg stump and guided nicely through a wide mid on. I think that might run all the way for 4. It crosses the rope now down in front of the tavern stand.
Yes, it's
a well timed shot.
It's slightly over pitch, but a nicely timed shot, and that will fill him with confidence there as the helicopter continues to circle above.
Yeah, the only time I've seen helicopters at cricket is to dry out the pitch. Fortunately,
yes.
It's not here for that purpose.
Hope Alan Stanford's not turning up. That's the last time I saw a helicopter at the cricket match.
Here's McIntyre again. Abbott's on 8, and McIntyre bowls to him, and this is a fuller ball played back up the pitch to the bowler. There's no run. Scoring at very nearly 5 and over at the moment.
Yes, it was very. They've done very well so far. They've taken a couple of overs just to get their eye in, and now they're accelerating nicely. So this is a pleasing start for Eton.
Here comes McIntyre, very compact action, and that's outside off Sump and put away quite nicely by Abbott through cover point region. Very powerfully picked the gap there and over the rope in the flash away to our right.
Yeah, too short from McIntyre there, and a good over from Eaton's point of view.
Very good over there, 22 without loss. We've had four overs. Jamie Abbott's moved on to 12, and Teddy James has 9. Tavern stand, the top of the tavern stand, well, one end of it anyway, is filled up very nicely now.
Yes, it's always nice. I've done this fixture now for the last 2 or 3 years, and it's always lovely coming to watch Eaton and Harrow because they're just so smart.
Yes. I mean,
everybody is identically dressed in the top of the tavern stand there.
They are indeed.
It's all Harrow. We're reliably informed. That's all Harrow.
It's good to have such reliable informants in the commentary box today. Here's Bowes continuing from the nursery end. He bowls to James, who defends out on the offside, and there's no run.
Yeah, we're reliably informed that there are lots of people turning up a bit later because there's an exam this morning.
Harrow have had their exams already.
Oh, Harrow have already had their exams.
Well, we look forward to more Pim. In fact, there's some. I'll tell you that bit in a minute. Here's Bowes coming in bowling to James on a length outside the off stump and played to point for no run. Spectators or visitors in the grandstand?
I think they might be visitors because I'm apart from the boxes, I'm sure that the grandstand is closed to spectators.
I believed it was as well, so I think it might be people on the. On the famous guided tour of Lords.
It is a fabulous tour as well.
It is. So much history in one place. Here comes Lalit Bowes again, and he's into Teddy James, who's forward and getting a thick outside edge down towards third man. A comfortable single is taken as third man fields. 23 without loss, the score moves on to. Flags around the ground seem to be flying in varying different directions at the moment.
Yes, I can't quite work out this one, because up here it seems really windy, but as
mostly,
we look over to the pavilion.
Mostly towards us, the MCC flags to our left and our right. Here's Bowes again into Abbott, and that's well played. Back past the bowler, it was a full ball on Midland leg and just played to mid on for another comfortable single. The score continues to tick over, 24 without loss now.
Yes, this will be really pleasing for Eaton, because the one thing that they don't want to do, having won the toss and put themselves into bat, is to get bogged down.
Yep, keep the scoreboard moving, and that's exactly what they're doing. Here's Bowes again, and again a fuller ball played out towards mid on, this time no run. Straight to the mid on fielder, who's getting a lot of action down there. I think that's Max Foch from.
Yes, it really is a lovely noise, that leather on willow that we just heard there. And that's the beauty of having our effects, Mike.
It is, it works very, very well. He'll be drowned out by the crowd later, though. Here's Bowes coming in again, and it's a length ball outside off stump. They're going to take a quick single out into the covers, and a very well judged single. As well, 25 without loss the score. That's the last ball in that over. We've had 5 overs now. James has 11, Abbott 13.
Yeah, both seem to have settled into a rhythm a bit better than Hamish McIntyre at the other end. I think he's going to resume from the pavilion end, and he'll be hoping not to give away as many runs as he did in his previous over.
Yes, Hamish McIntyre will continue. A regular to this fixture, I'm not quite sure of how many games, but somebody's just about to tell me.
He played
the year before, so he played in 2010, missed out last year, and he's back this year. He's going to continue running towards us with the pavilion in the background, left arm over to James, and this one hits James high up on the thigh pad.
Yeah, it was too high. One of those ones that the bowler consoles himself by saying, "Ah, well, I've pinned him back there."
Yep, one half strike to the bowler, I suppose. A moral blow. Two men out deep on the leg side, right on the boundary, on that short boundary in front of the mound stand. James waits now, and McIntyre's in, and James drives back on the bounce to the bowler, who fields. There's no run. Just the one slip in place now. Quite sure where the second slip disappeared to. I think he's actually gone out into the ring on the offside. Seems to be an extra man out there for the... some balls have gone through there already. Here's McIntyre again. And this one's on middle and leg and played out on the leg side. There's no run though.
Yeah, good work from McIntyre at the beginning of this over, bowling nicely to his field, so that the batsman's only really able to pick out the fielders.
As you say, when you're bowling from, well, either end, the temptation is to try and overcompensate to the larger side of the ground, if you like. Here he comes again, and that's a good ball, and I think beats is probably a little bit much for James. It went outside off stump. He flirted with it slightly, but not to any serious extent. It's straight through to the keeper for no run.
Yeah, there was the foot went forward from James, but there was no swish of the bat.
No. McIntyre turns, and he's past the umpire now. In again, and this one's on the leg stump and whisked away through mid-wicket for a comfortable four in front of the tavern stand. Again, I know we'll keep saying it, but short boundary and the wrong place to bowl. Comfortably put away by Teddy James. He moves on to 15, the score's 29.
Yeah, shame for McIntyre there, because all of the hard work that he's done in the first four balls of the over all spoiled somewhat by a wayward one.
Last ball off the six over. In comes McIntyre now, a better ball. Full and played out onto the leg side for no run, so that is... the end of the over. We've had 6, 29 without loss Eton after winning the toss. A partly sunny morning, but a good toss to win, as they say. Always bat first when you win.
Yeah.
They say.
They say, don't they? Yeah.
They say a lot, though.
So just short of 5 and over, which will be a reasonable start from Eton's point of view, I imagine. To have avoided losing any wickets within the first six overs and to have 29 on the board is pleasing.
Well, it's a perfect run rate at the moment to see you into the 275 region. Here's Bowes continuing from our nursery end. That's played back up to mid on. There's no run by Abbott.
Yeah, it might be a little premature to talk about potential targets.
It's never premature to talk about potential targets in cricket.
No, I suppose not.
If five wickets fall in the next 10 minutes, we'll soon be talking about potential targets.
Yes. Yes, I take your point.
Bowes again with a similar compact action to McIntyre. This one's a little bit shorter and cranked into the offside by Abbott, but he can only find a fielder just inside that 30-yard fielding circle, which is decorated by the usual white plastic discs, I suppose we'd call them. And there's no run. Bowes again up to the stumps now, and that's a full shot for sure this time by Abbott. It's outside the off stump. Not sure whether that Bowes held that ball back a little bit. It didn't seem to carry through to Robbie White behind the stumps, as well as some have, but definitely a full shot.
No, it just popped up a little bit, didn't it? Seemed to do that on its way through. Just having some mechanical noises coming through the effects mic there.
Always nice, yes. Here's Bowes again. And again, that's actually the proverbial grass cutter. It's pitched outside off stump and pretty much rolled straight through to the wicketkeeper.
Yes, that's and that's good from a Harrow point of view, because that's just going to put a bit of doubt in Abbott's mind.
It is. So two in a row doing something a little bit odd off the pitch.
It'll be really interesting to see what happens from the next ball.
Well, I suppose we'll be looking to find those spots again. Here he comes, and he bowls now, and this one's on a length and no such trouble for ball or batsman this time, as it's played out into the offside for no run.
Yes, we've had over the years some people listening in from the far-flung parts of Europe and the world. If you are listening in and have an insight on this game, please email us in at ballbyball@lords.org. That's ballbyball@lords.org. We'd love to hear from you. Any questions for us or insights would be great.
Abbott waits now for Bowes, who bowls outside the off stump, and Abbott withdraws. There's no run. That's the end of a maiden over from Lalit Bowes, 29 without loss.
Yes, I've been impressed with the line and length that Bowes has been keeping. He hasn't given much away. He's got a more difficult job potentially to the right-handed batsman with this short boundary here, but he's doing a good job so far.
He is, and getting some interesting movement out of the pitch in that over. I think even the last ball didn't quite seem to have the velocity and carry that we've been used to so far. McIntyre's continuing from the pavilion end. He's in now, and he's tucking up Teddy James, but they're going to get a single. Just a ball on his hip that he jabbed down short on the leg side. A comfortable single, no fielder in there. 30 without loss, the score moves on to.
Yeah, just a couple of times now he's tucked the ball into Teddy James and given him something to think about.
It's definitely a better ball than a couple of the looser offside ones. Here he comes again, short-sleeved, and bowls on the off stump, and that's a much better line and length that time. No run.
Yeah, he'll just be striving for a bit of consistency. That's always the problem that we encounter in this fixture, is consistency. We have to remember that these are essentially schoolboys, very, very good cricketing schoolboys, but schoolboys nonetheless.
Here he comes again, running towards us, and this is a full ball turned round the corner for another very straightforward, almost walked single towards the end. Teddy James moves on to, Jamie Abbott moves on to 14, 31 without loss, the score.
Yeah, there wasn't much foot movement there.
Not a lot.
The ball didn't go where he intended it to go. It squirmed out just behind his legs there.
Well, as all batsmen say, I'm still here. Here's McIntyre, and that's a full toss, very, very full indeed, and driven back down the ground. I think that's going to go for four. It is straight through mid on. Down to the Allen stand, and a lovely shot to a poor ball.
Yeah, it was, but we were just talking about consistency, weren't we, really? And he's come up with some corking deliveries that have tied the batsman up, but it was a slower delivery, a fuller delivery, and Teddy James tucked in.
I'm not sure whether he quite hit it on the full toss or whether it just pitched just as he got there. Here's McIntyre. Again, bowling turn, better length, and played out towards mid-wicket. No run there. One ball left in the over. 35 without loss. So that rate maintained at this stage. Fortunately, the helicopter seems to have gone.
Yeah, so a bit of peace and quiet. It's just the wind.
McIntyre again, and that is a stray ball on the leg stump, and duly tucked into by Teddy James. He gets himself four down to the underneath the clock, and the scorer's boxes between the tavern and mound stand away to our left.
Yeah, it's a shame for Harrow at the moment, because from one end Bowes is tying the batsman up, slowing things down. And the other end, McIntyre's striving for a bit of consistency and falling a bit short. straying towards the legs and being punished.
Certainly more runs from McIntyre's end, and you can see that in the fielding positions in his overs. Only one slip, but Lalit Bose has two slips. 39 without loss then. We've had 8 overs. Bose is on his way again and bowls a length ball outside off stump, left alone by Jamie Abbott.
Yeah, they're just, especially Abbott is fairly cautious of playing outside that off stump to Bose. We've had in his previous over, we had a few kind of grass cutters, a few moving off the pitch, and it's just putting a little bit of doubt in the batsman's mind.
I think if you were the two batsmen out there at the moment, you may well be thinking caution to Lalit Bose and as many runs as you can get perhaps off McIntyre. Here's Bose in again to Abbott, a short ball, and just as we say about Bose's consistency, it goes wrong for one ball there, a short ball wide outside the off stump and slashed through cover point by Abbott for 4 to that short boundary, moves on to 18, the score 43.
Yeah, very much at this stage it's about concentration. I've been fairly impressed with the two opening Eton batsmen, because they've done well with the difficult balls and tucked into the more friendly ball, shall we say.
Yeah, it's been a very, very good start for them so far. Abbott waits, bat raised, and Bose bowls outside the off stump. There's no run this time. Slightly louder crowd noises, I was just about to say there.
Yes.
In the effects mic.
The nice thing about the restrictions they put on the ground is that we, from our position here, can see both the Etonians and Herovians, which is great.
Bose again then begins his lengthy run-up, and he's in now and on middle and leg, and it's tucked away through mid-wicket. I think they're going to come back for 2 here. The ball's not going to cross the boundary. It's collected now and thrown in, but a bit stray there from Bose, perhaps a little bit of overcompensation to the leg side, and Abbott moves on to 20. 45 without loss then, the rate now above 5 and over. Bose on his way now and bowls outside the off stump, a better ball left alone by Abbott.
Yeah, we've got a maximum of 11 overs, if I'm not correct, for bowlers. And it may be an opportune moment just to try and mix things up a little bit from Harrow's point of view at the end of this over, possibly McIntyre another over. And they've both been through 5 overs.
Bose again then with a straight run up, bowls now. Outside the off stump, a lovely cracking sound off the bat. Played into the offside by Abbott, there's no run. So the score 45 without loss. We've had 9 overs.
Yeah, even my maths can do that. 45 off 9 overs.
Yep.
I don't need the very helpful scoreboard that tells me the run rate.
I can work that one out. Joe, I'm going to leave you.
Okay, thank
you,
Jamie.
To take over the commentary, I'm going to hand over to Keith.
Yes, and thanks, Jamie. We'll be listening in again to his dulcet tones as he goes off to refresh himself, I'm sure. We've got Boyd coming in to take up the bowling, and I am joined by Keith Metcalf. Hello, Keith.
Hello. Hi.
What can you tell us about young Boyd? He's obviously a popular character.
Yes, very well liked. Maybe that's the boys from his house cheering you in.
So Boyd to replace McIntyre from the pavilion end, in and very high, a no ball called by the umpire. That's what you call the proverbial loosener.
Yes, probably got away with that a little bit. Arthur played last year here at Lord's for his first time. Particularly showed on the batting front, I would have said. He got a 32 as he opened the batting. Didn't do too badly bowling as well.
In, right arm over the wicket, and in to bowl, and that's another fuller delivery that James tries to work away on the offside and is unable to. No run is taken there.
And last year he bowled 7 overs for 26 and no wickets. So let's hope he has from a Harrow point of view, certainly as speaking as a Harrow master,
yes.
Let's hope he has a successful day today. It's certainly a better ball that second delivery.
I wondered how long it was going to be, Keith, before I had to explain that you're somewhat partisan.
I will endeavour not to be partisan, but it's nice to be here and see some of the boys who you've taught or coached on the way up through the school playing at such a fantastic ground as this.
Boyd in to James, who is forward to that one and flays it away in the kind of gully region. There's a man down at third man there to prevent any more than one run being taken. So James moves on to 24, fielder of Whitrow, down at third man, and the score moves on to 47 for no loss. No, it's great to have your perspective on things as Harrow master, and we've got Andy's perspective on things as well as an Eton master. So, we're pretty well covered today.
Well, we will certainly try to give you some background information as well as we know it, as well as we know it.
So Boyd into Abbott there, and just evading the second slip that Boyd's got in there, and again collected by Whitrow down in the third man region. Just a tentative shot there by Abbott outside the off stump.
Yeah, that looked like Mikey Cousins, who's a pretty tall chap, diving away, just couldn't reach it. Got down very low.
It was more of a stop than a catch, wasn't it? It was going to be
certainly
more of a stop than a catch. As Boyd's in again to James, who's forward to that one and plays a nice cover drive straight to the man in the covers there.
The batsman looking fairly confident in the middle now. Would you say it's good? Lot of good foot movement. They're beginning to feel that they're in control a little bit.
Yeah, there's only one instance, one ball that I've seen. I think it was Jamie Abbott, who didn't really move his feet, swung the bat a little bit. It was a couple of overs ago. But yeah, I agree, they're looking good. As Boyd is in again to James, and James is nicely forward to that one, straight back to the bowler, and a fairly good opening over so far from Boyd, apart from our loosener that we had first up.
Yes, I think he'll be happy with this so far. But just even that shot, that was a very good ball on a line, on a length, and the batsman was already looking to score off it. It sort of showed some frustration that actually had gone straight back to the bowler.
Boyd to Teddy James, who's forward to that one and drives again, and just almost managing to dissect the two fielders there. The man coming around from mid-off to prevent any run. That's the end of the 10th over, and the score has moved on to 48 for no wicket. Teddy James on 24 and Jamie Abbott on 21.
It looks like there might be another change at this end here. It looks like Max Foch might be coming on. Spinner, so a change of bowling tactic. He gets a big cheer as well. Harrow contingent of all, they had an exam this morning as well, so they've all bussed in from not far to the northwest of here.
Is it Nick Castleman with the gloves? Is that who's keeping wicket today?
No, Robbie White.
Robbie White.
Yeah.
Just received the helmet from the 12th man, so another surefire sign that we've got some spin coming.
Yeah, Robbie White's had a toughish season really. Broke his, I think it was his thumb. So he's not been able to keep wicket for a while. We have a very good number two, James Lawson-Baker, who's played a few games for the first, and I think we'll be slightly disappointed he didn't get that one extra game at Lords. But Robbie has played here, I think this is his third time, keeping wicket, but also opening the batsman each time, I think, as well.
Yes, I remember him from last year. I remember he did well last year. So Max Foch, left arm around the wicket, and Foch is in from the nursery end, and that's full delivery. Ooh, full delivery and a big appeal. 5-6 fielders going up for the appeal, and that's a great start from Max Foch.
Pitch just outside leg stump, do you think?
I think that could be the only thing that it was, because the length was very good. And he's in again, Foch. And Abbott is forward nicely to that one.
Max has had a very good summer. He wasn't, I don't think pre the term people were really thinking he was going to be the strike spin bowler, if you can call a spin bowler a strike. But
Fosh in again, and another fuller delivery, but this time straight back, and lovely forward, lovely long barrier from the bowler. He's rattling through his over here. Fosh in, as a shorter delivery. Abbott's gone after that one. Two men on the short boundary there on the offside. Just one run taken.
Just seemed to get stuck in his hand there, and he dragged it down wide outside the off stump, and actually lucky to get away with that on that side.
Yes.
A short boundary. The batsman saw it early and got across to it, just didn't middle it. And the fielders were very quick to snaffle that one. Yeah, so Max has had, but just come on leaps and bounds this term. He's grown, he's taller, he's stronger, and I think gained in confidence, which I think spin bowler you really have to have.
Yes, Fosh, this time to Teddy James, who's forward nicely to that one. And he's got all the trademark gestures of a spin bowler. The hands go on the head.
And he wheels it in, as he's describing. He runs back to his mark every time.
Fosh in to James, who's back to that one and just cautiously watches it go outside into Robbie White's gloves, and that's the end of the over. Just one run off the over. Yeah, I thought it was one. I just wasn't quite sure. Thank you, Keith.
Yeah, so good first over hit. That'll be very good for him. Very good bit of confidence. I was just finding out a bit of some details from the boys, and his father played here a few years ago. And he just told me, he said two generations of Foshes have played here. Now, does that mean his grandfather played here as well? Possibly. Certainly his father did. His father was a very good old Harrovian cricketer.
There may well be some old Harrovians out there on the email who are able to help you.
Yes.
ballbyball@laws.org if you can help us out.
Yeah, do give us more information.
So Arthur Boyd in for his second over. Past the umpire and bowling to Abbott, who is forward to that one, and man from mid-wicket coming around to prevent any run being taken there.
Yes, the Harrow fielders are very alert. You can see them right on their toes. They're really up for this, I think. An awful lot of work goes into these cricketers, both Eaton and Harrow. Just the fielding has to be so spot on. And opportunities far few and far between.
It's Boyd in to bowl to Abbott, who's forward again, and no runs taken. The ball goes to the man at mid-off, but the bottom hand came off the bat there.
Yeah, I don't know whether he just got through that shot a bit early. Maybe it was a slower ball. But, I think he thought that was a good opportunity to score some runs, but it just went straight back to the fielder. And the opportunity looks like Hamish McIntyre's moving across to the offside to close it in.
Just leaving a deliciously large gap off Abbott's legs if the ball's going to go there down to this short boundary.
That could be tempting, couldn't it?
Boyd in to bowl to Abbott, who's forward to that one. Oof. Almost expected an edge there. Just flayed outside the off stump, and the ball's carried nicely through to White with the gloves.
Yeah, certainly the two slips down there, looks like Castleman and Cousins were both hands on heads, thinking their opportunity might have arisen, might have come.
Top of his run up in past the umpire, and again outside the off stump, this time Abbott leaving well alone.
He's bowling a very consistent line, isn't he, outside the off stump, hence the fielders packing the offside, I think.
Yeah, it was a problem that McIntyre seemed to have, was just looking for that consistent line and length that puts the batsman under a bit of pressure. Yeah. Doesn't give the batsman any kind of opportunity to hit out. This is good from Arthur Boyd, as he's in again to bowl to Abbott, who's forward to that one, and again finds a fielder, and just a little bit of frustration creeping in as the as Harrow prevent runs from ticking over.
Yeah, interestingly, I mean, I know we're early on in the innings, but the run rate down just at 4.1 at the moment, so it's a good couple of overs can just make the difference at this stage, as we see lots of the Eaton boys arriving, filling in the mound stand.
Boyd in to Abbott, who's forward again at that one, and looks like he's going to play at the short, moves the bat out of the way at the last minute, and no run is taken. That is a maiden over from Boyd there. He'll be really pleased with that. Second maiden in the innings.
Arthur Boyd from Wellesley Prep School, who I know send quite a few boys to Harrow and Eton. One of our old boys I know, Sam Northeast, was at Wellesley, who's now playing for Kent on a fairly regular basis. But I think there's some several Eton cricketers as well have come from there, so a good pedigree from that school. Here comes Foch.
Foch into bowl from the nursery end. And James is back to that one and watches it cautiously.
Foch was at prep school just near here, I think.
Well, there you go, he's almost coming home. As Foch is in again and just flights, just puts the ball up a little bit more, just a little fuller. James just digs it out and finds only the man at short cover there.
He rattles through these overs, doesn't he, Foch?
Foch in for the third ball of the 13th over, and that's been signalled wide. There was a thrash by Teddy James outside the off stump.
It was definitely there to be hit. It just didn't move his feet. Could have just quickly got his right foot out and smashed it away, but just missed it.
So Foch into James, and that's a fuller delivery, and James has gone after that one. And that's away for four runs, just behind square on the leg side. The 50 is up for Eton off 75 balls, a run rate of 4 and over.
That's a shame. That's just let the Eton boys off the hook a little bit there. I think Boyd and Foch had just tied them in a little bit. Okay, the odd loose one. He got away with the ball before, but so a shame to have another loose one to let the batsman get onto it very quickly.
So Foch trying to tie Teddy James down, and James is forward defensive to that one. No run is taken.
Foch was at Arnold House Prep School, which is just up the road. So a local boy, came used to walk past here every day, he says.
And dream of playing, and now that dream's come true. As Foch is in to bowl to Teddy James, who's forward to that one, only finding the man at mid-off.
Looked like he just mistimed that a little bit, just squared him up slightly. Must be a little bit of turn. Can we see any from up here?
It's quite difficult to see, as Foch is in again, and a quicker delivery. Just darting the ball through. That's the end of the over. Just five runs coming from the over. I think there might be a little bit of turn, but the pitch is pitch number 16, I think it is, which is to the extreme left of us as we sit in the JP Morgan media centre.
It looks like there's just one more wicket to the left, doesn't there? So there's a little bit freedom there, but not a lot. Certainly not a very long boundary, and I think both teams are going to have to really take care to bowl a good line and field that side very carefully. But interesting, that's the side that all the Harrow and Eton boys are, and I certainly know from past experience, if fours or sixes are hit over that way, the boys get very excited.
Boyd for his third over into bowl to Abbott, who's forward to that one, and a nice shot again. The bottom hand comes off the bat.
Now there's all weather strips over on the two wickets that just crossed on the offside. Those are being prepared, do you think, for a couple of big matches coming up? Just want to be protected?
We've got England-Australia, which I'd imagine is the one splat bang in the middle, probably what, number 10? In pitch numbers, as Boyd is in, and again, oh, he's done nicely there. There's Abbott is forward to that one and just evaded the man in the covers. He's been practicing that a little while. Ball goes down to the Warner stand there. Yeah, for four runs.
Just as I was saying about those all weather strips, it does make fielding just there, which was Hamish McIntyre, just has to sort of walk onto those every time he comes walking in. Each ball, he's just walking over those AstroTurf strips, which, I don't know, maybe it just to get the odd bounce, the odd funny feel. He just missed that one.
Boyd in to Abbott, who this time tries to work the ball away on the onside, but only finds a man at mid-on.
That's Patel. He's been quite busy there, hasn't he?
Yes, it's a tendency of these two batsmen, probably that shorter boundary, to try and work the ball on the onside.
But there's a big gap between mid-on, fairly wide-ish mid-on, and then backward square leg.
Boyd in to Abbott, who has just dissected the fielders there between mid-off and that wide mid-on, and that ball is likely to run down to the boundary. There's a despairing dive. I don't think he's managed to prevent the ball going for four runs.
Now, you can often tell whether it made it, because you can see whether it's the Harrovians who were cheering it or the Etonians. Yeah. That was definitely the Etonians, so it's clearly gone for four, even though it's right at the far end from where we're sitting. Despairing, skidding dive by Hector Whitrow.
So, Boyd, just with a few things to think about as he's in to bowl to Abbott again, who leaves well alone. He's moved nicely on to 30 as the scoreboard keeps up with us, because we've obviously had two consecutive boundaries there.
Yeah, and that's pushed the run rate back up to 4.5, so useful runs for the Eton team. But they're building a very nice opening partnership here. It's on to 62 without loss. Abbott on 30, James on 28. So both keeping up, keeping the runs ticking over.
Boyd into Abbott, who again tries to find that gap, but only finds the man at wide mid-on. That's the end of the over. Eton have moved on to 62 for no loss. Abbott on 30 and Teddy James on 28.
And they're rotating the strike nicely as well, aren't they? Just keeping it, the scoreboard ticking over and facing off these batsmen, bowlers. And Foch is taking his cap off, going back to his mark as the batsmen have a quick chat in the middle. They're probably just saying keep on going. We're doing well. There's nothing to worry about here.
Yes, they are. I've been very impressed with their shot selection, with which balls they've left alone, which balls they've gone after. As Foch is ready again at the nursery end and in to bowl another very, very lofty delivery, which has gone straight up in the air. There's a man under it. Oh, a despairing dive. And that wasn't a very good ball, but in the ilk of many a spinner, the bad ball, the ball goes straight up in the air, and he'll be angry with that.
He will be very frustrated, but the fielder is in quite tight there to stop the single, and it was a top edge ball, but it was going over backwards over his head, so he had to turn around, run away, dive.
Foch in to Abbott, who's forward to that one. Yes, they got through a quick single there, didn't they?
Yep, so change the strike.
Foch to Abbott, who is forward again and just works that ball off his pads. There's just one run there. The man down on the boundary gets the ball in quickly to wicketkeeper, and the ball makes its way back around. Now, it was a difficult chance for the man there.
Yep.
Ball going over his head and having to dive backwards to try and catch it as Foch is in to James, who somewhat skews this ball just behind square. They've gone for two. It's very, very tight. It was James who called for the second run. But
I think he would have been in, but I don't think the wicketkeeper he spun around with the ball. He had to reach behind him to get the stumps and just didn't actually quite take the bails off. So we'll never know whether it would have been run out or not.
Foch to James, and that's a short delivery, and he'll be a little disappointed. He's gone backwards to that one, Teddy James, and tried to work it away in the offside, but that very packed offside field protecting that boundary, preventing any run.
It really is, isn't it? With Foch hopefully turning down the slope, I suppose.
Foch to James, a fuller delivery, and just flighting the ball nicely. End of the over, that's 66 for no wicket or 15 overs. So we've had our first 15 overs and the run rate is 4.4.
Foch is bowling definitely on the stumps or even slightly leg side, hoping to turn the ball down the slope it would look, and encouraging the batsman to hit onto the leg side, which probably is crucial at the stage, because again, if they were given room outside the off stump, they would be slashing it through to the short boundary. So he's probably got some sort of tactic there, and most of the time they are turning it onto the onside. So I would suspect he seems to be bowling to as expected and as the coach would have wanted.
Boyd in again from the pavilion end to Abbott, who has worked the ball away on the offside. Just one run.
That's good batting. Just looking for singles, rotating the strike, keeping the scoreboard ticking over. Just a nice little push out. There's a lot of fielders there, but he managed to find a little gap. Still two slips in this stage.
There seems to be a lot of noise coming from underneath us, of tractors and other things being moved around by ground staff here, as Boyd is in to Teddy James, who just cautiously watches that one outside the off stump, as must have been close to being a wide there. Yes, the two opening batsmen for Eton just matching each other stride for stride. Jamie Abbott on 32, Teddy James on strike on 31. They've done well in these first 15 overs, as Boyd is in again to James, who watches that outside the off stump. No run is taken.
Just we have a great view from up here for the weather ahead. The westerly breeze is blowing in just a range of white fluffy clouds with the odd gap in between. It's just a hinting at sunshine. There's some small shadows on the ground.
Boyd in to James, who again is forward and leaves well alone. Yes, we've got classic English mottled sunshine.
Exactly, and looking at the weather forecast, there doesn't look like there's going to be any rain until later this evening, hopefully. So, just as I speak, the sun comes out. The boys are in sunshine. All got their very, very clean whites on today, I'm very pleased to say.
As Boyd is in to James again, and James flicks at this one, and it's high and wide of the man at second slip, who I think is Castleman, and down to the boundary because the man at third man wasn't wide enough.
It was Cousins at second slip there, Castleman at first slip. Yeah, there was a slightly loose ball from Boyd. He's been bowling a pretty tight line just outside the off stump, and that one was a little bit wider. But it did draw the batsman into a shot, which was probably correct from the batsman, but maybe just gave the slips a little bit of hope.
Yes, Boyd in to James again, who's moved on to 35.
And Boyd's straight back onto his line and length again there for the last ball of that over.
Yes, and the score has moved on to 71 for no wicket after 16 overs. Both batsmen, oh no, sorry, Abbott on 32. And James on 35.
Looks like it's Foch back into bowl again, just going back to his mark. Batsman just having a little prod at the wicket, which is looking pretty true today. There doesn't seem to be too much, no funny bounces recently. Oh, well, there was one earlier on, wasn't there, with Lalit Bose, but I haven't seen anything else.
Now we've just had somebody go off, and so you may be able to inform us. The man who's coming into mid on here, I think, is our 12th man. I'm not entirely sure, although he could be returning. As Foch is in again to bowl to Jamie Abbott, and he's back and wide outside the off stump, and that was a little scare there as Teddy James had made his way halfway down the wicket, only to rush back, but plenty of time.
Yeah, this is a reserve fielder just come on.
Foch in to bowl, and that's another fuller delivery, swept nicely by Abbott, just back with a square. There's a man deep square leg on the boundary there who prevents any more than just one run being taken there.
Substitute fielder looks like Tom Morgan. I'm not quite sure who's gone off yet. Have a quick look round the field.
Foch from the nursery end, another full flighted delivery up at the batsman's toes. Teddy James only able to work that to mid wicket, no run is taken. Just a few rotations of the ball by Foch at the beginning of his short run up, and that's a lovely shot there by Teddy James, just wide of the man in mid wicket, and collected on the boundary, back into the bowler. Just one run taken, I think. But a really nice shot.
Very nice shot. Well fielded. Good throw in. Hit the stumps. Batsman was obviously aware. Safe in his crease.
It's always good to be able to show the batsman as a fielding side that you can hit the stumps. Just keeps them thinking.
It was a shame from the Harry point of view, because that was Virish Patel, who just hit the stumps from the boundary, who had the chance, the one chance I think there's been really for a run out early on, where he threw it at the stumps and missed. It would have been out, I think.
Foch to Abbott, who again is back to this and just digs the ball out, but only finds the man at mid-wicket. Good couple of balls here from Foch.
Yeah, nicely fighted. It's into the wind at this end, so he's having to get the ball up there.
Foch to Abbott, who manages to work that away nicely between those two fielders on the onside. Ball rushes its way down to the boundary, and the Etonians are making noise.
Yes, it was a good shot, but it was overpitched. It was a full toss, a low full toss, so the batsman will be pleased and relieved that he's got that one away for four. It was an obvious chance to score some runs. As they go away, Boyd is walking away as he returns to his mark to start his over.
Yes, we've had 17 overs. The score has moved on to 77 for no wickets. So Eton with Teddy James on 36, and he'll be on strike, and Jamie Abbott up the other end on 37. Both batsmen have done a good job of being watchful and tucking into the more generous balls by the Harrow bowlers, as Boyd is in again from the pavilion end to James, who's forward to that one, and no run is taken.
Now, by the way that the substitute fielder has gone in at second slip, I suggest it might be Cousins, who's gone off for a few minutes. Not sure what that is. It's very hard to see. All the boys have got their Harrow caps on, their stripy blue, navy blue and silver caps tucked down over their heads. In fact, the only one who hasn't, I think, is McIntyre. Everyone else has got their team hats on.
Boyd in past the bowler to James, who's forward nicely to that one. No run is taken. Yes, it would help us out. It pains me to say it, but it would help us out if they had numbers or names on the back of the shirts.
Yes. I always feel the commentators at Euro 2012 have definite advantage with all the numbers and names on their backs. But
yeah, especially when they're commentating on Greece and wonderful names. As Boyd is in to bowl to James, who's just back to that one and just dabs it into the offside. And if the fielder coming around there had picked up the ball a bit more convincingly, maybe they would have been on for another shout at a run out. But two batsmen safely through.
Well, that looked premeditated. The Abbott's coming in from the non-striker's end. He was very fast off the line. He'd come a long way down the wicket, and the way James just touched that one down, very soft hands. I think they thought that was a run there already.
Boyd in to Abbott, who's back to that one and plays a nice backward defensive shot picked up by the man here at wide mid on. It's an interesting alteration to the field to have that man just a little bit wider at mid on, trying to kind of protect that area that both batsmen actually have scored quite a few runs in.
Well, that's right. They'd love to get the ball a bit further wider on the onside, because that's where all the space is.
Boyd in to Abbott, who leaves well alone outside the off stump.
But Boyd is hitting that line, isn't he? He's just outside the off stump. Possibly slightly too wide, but I think he's worried if he puts it on the wicket itself, they're going to be turning that away. He's not got many fielders over on that leg side at all, and it will also come down the slope a little bit.
Yes, what Harrow really need is for Foch at the other end just to tie the batsman up, because at the moment they're just leaving Boyd alone outside that off stump, as Boyd is in again and Abbott is back to that one and only finds a fielder. No run is taken. The end of the 17th, the 18th over, sorry, and the score has moved on to 78 for no wicket. That's both Teddy James and Jamie Abbott on 37 runs. Now, I've got some averages for this season so far in front of me, and Jamie Abbott, he has an average of 41 so far this season, high score of 92, and Teddy James 25. So Teddy James has surpassed his average, although he has a high score of 105.
And we've just had an email in from Mr. White, Gary White at Harrow, one of the masters, who says he's been looking back up some facts for us. This is from the 1943 match report.
Good Lord.
The score was now 88 for 3 wickets, and Leaf came in for what proved to be the last 3 balls of the game, for it had to be abandoned at the end of the over shortly before 1 o'clock. Thus ended the fourth wartime Eton match. In conclusion, we must offer our sympathy to Mitchell, the school captain, who's been prevented from taking part in any school match this season by a poison finger, and in whose place Foch must be congratulating on leading the team so successfully. So yes, we do believe Grandfather Foch has played, so that is 3 generations of Foches.
Well, there you go.
Playing in this game.
Well, just as you were taking us through family Foch there, Foch fly to the ball up, and James just went off when it was no run taken. Foch is in again there, and no run taken. Just the first ball of the over, just a little mistimed by Teddy James, and it went over the infielder, but short of anyone for a catch, as Foch is in for the third ball of this over, and another swish outside the off stump.
Yes, so thank you to Mr. White again for that information. Foch, it's a good thing he didn't get a wicket there. That would have been embarrassing to be talking about his grandfather when we've actually got the grandson playing and doing well at Lords.
So Foch in to bowl to James, who nicely shuffles his way down the wicket to get to the pitch of that ball and works it away down to the boundary for just one run.
Again, being forced to play that onto the onside if they're going to play it anywhere. Foch being very tight, bowling a good line and usually a good length. Very tricky into the wind to be able to get the flight and the right length on the ball too. But that was good, but well played by the batsman, just tucking it away.
Yes, not ideal for a spin bowler, as Foch is in to Abbott, who sweeps this one backward square, and there's a man down there who does well to stop it quickly and release the ball very quickly as well. That's some fine fielding out there on the boundary at backward square leg.
Just trying to see who that is. It might be Morgan Ward.
I think it's on the scoreboard. It came up with Turner, as Foch is in again, and the ball trying to work away by Teddy James on the offside. End of the 18th over. That is 80 for no wicket.
Yes, you're quite right. It was Turner, not Ward. Oh, it looks like the drinks are coming on.
Yeah, so drinks being taken after 19 overs, and the score is on 80 for no wicket. Both Abbott and James on 38, not out. So we've had 19 overs in which really have been Eton's. There's plenty of batting to come, I'm sure, but Harrow will be looking very, very soon for a way back into this game, some wickets. I think I'm going to take this as an opportunity to vacate the commentary box. I'll be back later.
Well, here we are back on air again. This is Ian Cowdroy taking up commentary. There's been a slight pause because after 19 overs there is a drinks interval. Eton have moved on very steadily to 80 for the loss of no wicket. Abbott 38, James also 38. There's a great deal of symmetry about things. I'm very pleased to welcome into the summariser's chair for a few moments Tim Beard, who is Master in Charge at Eton College, and he's just going to give us a little insight into how things have developed this term. So Tim, good morning and welcome. Not at all. And you might be able to, I don't know whether our listeners can hear a little bit of sound effects. There's a bit of noise in my earphones, I think coming from the wind. It's a breezy day, bright and breezy day at Lourdes, where we are enjoying describing the 174th encounter between Eton and Harrow at Lourdes Cricket Ground today. We're describing the action from the media centre with the pavilion in the at the other end of the ground, and the drinks have been taken. We're resuming play with Boyd, about to resume his spell. This is Arthur Boyd resuming his spell of medium pace bowling from the pavilion end, bowling to Abbott, 38 not out. And Tim, you must be pleased with what you've seen so far this morning. Yep. Yes, as Boyd runs in towards us, medium pace, right hand over the wicket to the right-handed Abbott. That's a no ball. I think possibly the first of the day, I'm not quite sure, but a foot fault, as it were. That's another run to the total. Just to remind listeners, this is a 55 overs aside match. The players are wearing white clothing and the ball is red. So it's a long game, there's a lot to play for in that sense. As Boyd comes into bowl, and this is a legal ball. Abbott goes back, rocks back, cuts the ball hard into the offside, behind square it goes out to a third man running round who fields, returns the ball to the wicketkeeper, but not before two more runs are scored. 83 now for the loss of no wickets, and Eton continue their steady progress this morning. Harrow will be anxious to make a breakthrough, I would have thought, if you were on the... Tim, thank you, as Boyd bowls. That's a little more streaky. It comes off the outside edge of Abbott's bat, but it goes down to third man, this time for a single. A slightly full shot. He took a hand off the bat handle as he played it. I've seen that once or twice before today. True enough. And Boyd comes into bowl. That's another good length ball, which James goes forward to. He calls for a run, but he's sent back, and he's rightly sent back by Abbott. There wasn't a single there because short extra cover came in, returned the ball to the wicketkeeper, and there was in the end no run. And he's in now, and he bowls, and that's a ball that's turned nicely into the onside. That's going to beat mid-wicket and go straight into the boundary boards below the tavern stand. A lovely shot. That was a beautiful shot by Teddy James, and that moves him into the 40s. He's on 42, Abbott 41, Eton 88 for the loss of no wicket, and at a run rate of 4.4, which is pretty good for a match of this duration at this stage. Can't bowl there. Boyd, what can he do this time? He bowls. This is outside the off stump, predictably. But the wicketkeeper, let me just remind us who the wicketkeeper is. That's White, standing up to the medium pace of Boyd, takes it well. And that's the end of the slightly protracted over. 88 for no wicket after 20. And there it is, the run rate of 4.4. Tim, can you just give us a little bit of an insight into how your season has been so far? Mm. Yeah. It's a disappointing summer. But I suppose when we look back on statistics, we'll see most cricket gets played. But I know you've had a very disruptive start to the summer. Now, play resumes. It's Foch bowling his left arm, slow bowling, round the wicket to the right-handed Abbott. It hits a full toss, very hard through the offside. It beats long off. And that's another four. I expect through the microphone you can hear the crowd now getting quite lively. There are large numbers of supporters of both schools, and I think both have got something to cheer about. Eton for the progress made, Harrow in terms of encouraging. But that's 92 now for no loss as Foch skips into bowl round the wicket. That's a shorter ball which Abbott goes back to and plays sort of flat batted back to short extra cover, and there's no run. Foch is a very brisk, slow bowler in the sense that he gets through his overs very quickly. He's running between the umpire and the stumps, he's bowling round the wicket, and he's bowling, and that's a little bit uppish as Abbott pushes forward into the offside, but eludes short extra cover. He goes out to cover, and there's no run. Yes. There's little time for comment as Foch turns away from us and bowls. This is a bit shorter in length, and Abbott's able to push it out into the offside, where it's fielded at cover point. Nicely returned to the wicketkeeper, but not before another run is scored. And the run rate continues. If I get a moment, I'll try and describe the field to you, which is essentially quite well spread, although it's defending the short offside boundary underneath the mound stand. This time Foch comes forward, good length ball on the leg stump, which James pushes forward into mid-on, and it's gathered safely. There is no run. Foch about to bowl what should be the last ball of his over in this spell. That's a full toss, which James swivels and paddles into the leg side down to a deep square leg. There is a run, and that takes the Eton score to 94 for the loss of no wickets after 21 overs. Very good progress indeed. Abbott 46, James 43. Number three will be, what do you think he'll be thinking at the moment, actually, Tim? Yes, I agree. Not wanting a wicket to fall, but at the same time wanting to get out and do something. I think that bat number three is always an interesting position to bat, isn't it? Because you never know, you might be in second ball of the match, you might not get in. And while we've been talking, we've had a change of bowling from the pavilion because it's Turner coming into bowl. Another like-for-like, in a sense, medium pace, right-handed bowler. This is Andrew Turner, and we'll see what he can do in replacing Boyd from the pavilion end. The field, there is a mid-off, extra cover, cover point, backward point. Third man on the boundary, one slip only, a long leg, a square leg and a mid-on. Big gap at mid-wicket. We'll see if James can exploit that as Turner comes into bowl now. And that's outside the off stump, so James pushes forward. Not entirely convincingly, it goes out to mid-off where it's picked up by the fielder who's examining the ball, giving it a little bit of a polish as Turner walks back to his mark. And they have. Yes. And Turner comes in towards us from the pavilion end. He's bowling now, and that's a ball. Oh, it's a breakthrough. And that's the off stump. That's James's off stump flattened and out of the ground. And the yard is 4 feet behind the stumps, and Turner must be delighted with that breakthrough, as must his Harrow teammates. Andrew Turner makes the breakthrough that Harrow have been looking for some time now, but James must be disappointed, so close to a 50 at Lord's, but bowled by what I assume is a really good ball. Yes. We were. Well, it's a, you couldn't ask for a better platform to come into bat, could you? The noise that's greeting Hayes as he comes out to bat is outstanding. It's as though the ground were full to bursting, which it isn't. The crowd are essentially in the tavern and mound stands this morning. The pitch is in that direction. The pavilion is well populated with supporters as well. And the scoreboard comes back to tell us that after that wicket, the score is 94 for 1. Abbott undefeated on 46. That's Jamie Abbott. Hayes yet to score. He's now taking his mark from the umpire. And Turner, buoyed obviously by that success, poised to resume his over. As Turner comes into bowl, and that's a ball, that's a straight ball which appears to beat Hayes. It looks like that gone went through his defence. I don't know whether there was bat on it, but there was certainly pad, but there was no appeal. Down the leg side, perhaps. Yes. I'm surprised in the excitement of the moment there wasn't an appeal, because there sort of tends to be, even if it's only a gut reaction, but there wasn't. So Turner, right-handed, over the wicket to the right-handed Hayes. That's a disappointing ball, because that is wide outside the off stump, which Hayes leaves and allows him to get a little bit of a feel for the atmosphere and the pitch. I'd like to go back to just follow up the conversation before about your New Zealand visitors earlier in the year. Probably seems a month ago, or months ago, but this is Turner bowling, and that's another slightly disappointing ball in the sense that it's well outside the off stump. James doesn't have to play. Hayes, I beg your pardon, doesn't have to play. And that's the end of the over. That's the end of the 22nd over. Eaton are 94 for the loss of one wicket. That was James, who was bowled Turner for 43. Abbott's on 46. Hayes yet to score. School that you've had a fixture with before. Thank you, Tim. And will you come back to us with Foch continuing his spell of slow left-handed bowling from the nursery end, which Abbott pushes into the wide spaces of the onside, and they walk through for a single, which brings Hayes onto strike for the first time at the pavilion end. He's taken guard, he's looking around. There's a little bit of field changing. The offside field, the short boundary on the offside field, is being strengthened, so there are now five fielders in the ring and a sweeper right on the boundary edge as Foch bowls. That's a good length ball, a little bit of flight to that. Hayes treats it with the respect it deserves and just pushes it into the offside, fielded by short extra cover. There is no run. 95 for 1. Foch walks back briskly, turns away from us. 1, 2, 3, 5 paces. He's at the stumps now. He bowls. That's another good ball. Ditto repeater, really. Exactly the same thing happened, and there's no run. 95 for 1. Good cricket. We're in the 23rd over. It's a lovely day here at Lord's. Lovely day for cricket, I should say, in the sense that it's dry and bright and breezy. There's good cricket on display, it's Foch bowls. That's a little bit shorter. Hayes is able to go back and hit it into the offside, but he misses. He shapes it into the offside, taken well by the wicketkeeper, who's undemonstrably efficient behind the stumps. Foch bowls. That's a little bit shorter in length and wider. Umpire calls it wide. That was too wide for the umpire. One run added to the score, 96 now. That close guarded field on the offside is very threatening as Foch bowls. That's a full pitch ball on the leg stump, which Hayes paddle sweeps down behind square. He's off the mark. He'll be delighted about that. An easy single, in fact, a full toss, and well struck into the outside. 97. Oh, yes. Brings back Abbott. At the end of this over, I'm going to hand over to Andy Miles to resume commentary. But let me just take you through. Let me just take you to the end of this over, where Foch bowls, and Jay and Abbott picks up another single. That's 98, and that's the end of the over. So after 23 overs, 98 for 1, Abbott 48, Hayes 1, I'm going to hand over to Andy Miles, who's going to continue this very interesting discussion with Master in Charge of Cricket at Eton College, Tim Beard.
Good morning, everybody. Eton well set. It's the partnership breaker to continue. Turner from the pavilion end, in he comes, and it's defended by Abbott up to mid on. You can tell he's a bit quicker than the bowler from the previous bowler from that end. Wicketkeeper standing quite well back, probably 15, 16 yards back from the stumps with just one slip. So plenty of pace in Turner's right arm as he flings the ball down, trying to do the job again. Here he comes, and it's a good ball. It has to be defended. I think that was certainly going to hit off stump, and we were therefore hoping from an Eton perspective that Abbott would continue his solid defence. He's been very watchful so far this morning. Still on 48 not out, maybe just eyeing the scoreboard slightly as well. Wouldn't he like to have a 50 at Lord's? So Turner once again in. Oh, it's just leaking onto leg stump, and Jamie Abbott flicks it down to fine leg, who picks it up, and they jog through for a comfortable single, which brings Hayes on strike. The score is on 99, Abbott is on 49, Hayes is on 1. Crowd are beginning to get involved. And Hayes just defends that into the leg side, but they come through for a single, which brings up the Eton 100. So that's 100 off 23.4 overs. 144 balls at a rate of 4.2 per over. So I think Eton will be delighted with that start, and they'll just have to hope that they can continue with this. Oh, now that has beaten Abbott all ends up. It's on 49 not out, takes a big stride down the wicket, decides to defend the ball, and it's gone straight through him. The wicketkeeper takes it, and first slip has his hands on his head. So it's not all easy out there. That must have just gone down the slope, I would think. I think it came between the bat and the batsman. Found a little gap, but didn't touch anything on its way through. So a bit of luck for Abbott, who's still on 49 not out, and facing this ball. And he's missed that one. That was wider and outside off stump. Played a funny, slightly angled bat at it. That's the end of the 24th over. Score is 100 for 1. Batsmen go together to have a conversation. Any thoughts?
First thought is I hope everyone can hear me, because something terrible has gone wrong with my headphones, but never mind. As long as you can hear me and everyone else, that's fine. I think Tim's had to make his excuses, unfortunately. But, well, a wicket lost at long last, but Eaton's still in a very good position here.
So, Foch to continue. Left arm round the wicket, coming between the umpire and the stumps. Bowls that, and it's just outside off stump and left alone by Henry Hayes. Just having a look. He'd quite like to have a bit of a look at the bowling before he has to play it. Same sort of shot. This time he rocks back and hits it through point, but there's a man on the boundary, which is the short boundary. He's fielding just in front of the tavern, well, almost in front of Old Father Time there, and they jog through for a single. So this brings Abbott back on strike, looking for one that would bring him a 50, which wouldn't anybody like to have a 50 at Lord's. Here we go, in comes Foch. It's a full toss, I'd take that. He paddles it round the corner, it's picked up by Fine Leg, and that is his 50. You can hear the crowd reaction. Eaton crowd on their feet, warmly applauding him. He lifts his bat, shakes his partner by the hand, he says, get on with it.
Yep, lovely 50, 72 balls, and seven fours as well, so significant scoring rate, but very well batted so far.
Eaton will want Abbott to continue in this vein. But it's Hayes to face. In comes Foch. It's a good pitch ball, and it squares Hayes up slightly. He's looking to defend it, and he had to wait for it to come down. It's nicely flighted, and it didn't ever cause him major problems, but he ended up with both feet facing towards the bowler, and the ball squirted off to point. There was no danger. So Foch still bowling some really good deliveries, which are asking questions of the batsman. And now Hayes has defended that firmly straight towards the umpire. It's gone straight into the stumps at the non-striker's end. Harrow appeal for a run out. Apparently Foch thinks he touched it. Either he didn't touch it or Abbott was firmly in his ground. Either way, the umpire is unmoved and the score stays the same, and it just goes down as a dot in the scorebook.
That was quite an appeal by Foch.
He obviously thought that there was a chance of an unlikely run out, and there's a repeat of the earlier shot. Hayes rocks back, plays it comfortably to point, and they jog through for a single. That's the end of the 25th over in this 55 over game. The score is 103 for one. Abbott on 50, played very nicely. Hayes, early on in his innings, is still looking good for four not out, and Eaton will be comfortable with this position. I might remind you though that last year Harrow batted first and they were looking very comfortable at lunch, and then it all changed after lunch and there was a rash of wickets in the space of about four overs. They lost five wickets.
Was it something in the sandwiches?
I don't know, but certainly lunch suited Eaton more than Harrow last year.
Just that break in concentration for a batting side can be enough sometimes.
Yeah. So it's Turner to continue, right arm fast from the pavilion end. It's defended by Hayes out into the covers, well fielded. So no, just having a look at the stats from last year. Harrow were looking quite good until, just after lunch. And then they ended up being bowled out for 181 when they were looking like scoring over 200. So it's well pitched up, it's on off stump, it's defended by Hayes into the leg side, but there's no close fielder there. The ball rolls gently towards a square leg umpire and they jog through for an easy single. The field, there's still a slip, there's still a third man Fine Leg, and then there's backward point, extra cover, another man in the covers. I suppose you could almost say cover point and extra cover and mid off, and then on the leg side there's mid on and then square leg on the boundary, so there's nobody really saving single, just square of the wicket. And they exploit that again, defended off his hip by Abbott, and they jog through for another single on the leg side.
Maybe. I think he wanted to prove your point there by playing the ball into that big gap at mid-wicket.
Harrow not changing the field, they're sticking with their plans. It's a 6-3 field, so they'll be hoping Turner will be bowling it on the offside. Got two men back on the leg side and mid on, that's all. So this time it is on off stump, or middle on off, and it's defended in a similar sort of way, but this time it goes to the fielder at mid on who picks it up and there's no chance of a run. So slightly straighter delivery, slightly straighter shot, which is what you would expect. And the sun is still shining at Lord's. The score is 105-1. Run rate is still over 4 and over, so everything looking good. And it's a repeat of the shot before. It's defended up to mid on. There's no run, it's slightly shorter pitched, probably on the stumps. And mid on collects the ball, gives it a shine on the back of his trousers, and lobs it to Turner, who's got one ball left in this over, which has been a good over so far. Just picked up two singles from it. And there'll be one more single if it's stopped. He turns it off his leg, and they're going to come back for a second. So Hayes turned it off his hips. It just, square leg had to move probably 10, 15 yards to his right, and he saved the boundary but couldn't gather the ball safely, so it bounced away, and that meant that the batsman had time to turn and come back for the second, which means at the end of 26 overs, the score is 107-1. Abbott is 51 not out, and Hayes is 7 not out, obviously.
This will be of no interest to anyone but us, but I've found the reason for the lack of sound in my ears. Somebody's unplugged my headphones.
Back on track now, and we've got a change in the bowling attack. We've got Patel coming on. I think it's Vimesh Patel, is it?
Viresh Patel.
So he is replacing Foch at the nursery ground end. Foch bowled 8 overs so far, 0 for 31. Bowes and McIntyre opened. Bowes bowled 5 overs for 18, McIntyre 4 overs for 26. Boyd then bowled 6 overs for 25. And then we've had Foch and Turner, but Foch is being replaced by Vimesh Patel, who looks as though, well, he's certainly going to be a spin bowler. Looks like, well, right arm slow. We'll wait to see what kind of delivery comes out. He comes in, bowls a slightly tippy toe run up. It looks like he's bowled an off spinner there. It's been defended by Abbott, straight back to the bowler, who's back to his mark and ready for the next ball. And it's a repeat performance. It's picked up as it gently rolls back towards the bowler. It could be in for a very quick over at this rate if it's...
The spinners like to get through their overs, yeah, for Harrow, don't they?
Short run up, and if it's played straight back to the bowler each time. Abbott slows things down by having a quick look at the field, which we'll tell you about in just a moment. In he comes. You wouldn't really call it a run up, it's more of a walk up. A slight bounce in his step. And once again, it's outside off stump. This time it's left alone by the batsman, picked up by the wicketkeeper, and we're all ready for the next delivery. Not much chance to tell you about the field. This time it's played. It's a nice shot off his back foot by Abbott. It's picked up on the boundary in front of the mound stand, and they jog through for a single, which brings Hayes, the Eton captain, on strike. And we'll see what Patel can do to him. A slightly loopier ball, it's strayed onto the leg stump. Hayes plays it off his legs through square leg, and they pick up a single, which is exactly what Eton will be hoping to do, pick up singles from reasonable balls and wait to see if bad balls. Now there's a man going back from mid on to long on for Abbott, who's on 52. So they've just got two men out, so they've got deep mid wicket and deep long on. Played into his own pad by Abbott. That's the end of the 27th over. Score is 109-1, so a good first over from Patel. He'll be pleased with that. He's found his line and length pretty quickly.
Yeah, good first over from Virish Patel. Putting the two men out on the leg side boundary there to Abbott. I mean, we've not seen any indication yet from Abbott that he might want to head over the top, but perhaps more of a encouragement to do so by the fielding side, hoping for a catch to try and make more than just the one inroad into this innings.
Yes, I would say Abbott perhaps one of the not an attacking batsman. He's less likely to try and take the bowlers on and smash them over their heads than some of the other Eton batsmen. It's Turner to continue from the pavilion end. It's well pitched up on middle stump and defended to mid on by Hayes, who's looking reasonably comfortable. Last year Hayes was opening for Eton against Harrow. He was batting number one. He scored 14 before he was caught off the bowling of Bunting, but this year he's been batting at number three for Eton. So what can Eton's number three do? There's an appeal, but only half an appeal. I think it was probably a bit too high. It's hit him on the leg, and it may have pitched outside or hit him outside the line of off stump as well. So
yeah, a little bit high that. Just notice he's batting a little bit of a way out of his crease. That's just looking to get as far down that wicket as possible.
And that too is defended by Hayes into the offside. There's no chance of a run. We have had an email in from Korea, so it's nice to know that we're being listened to around the globe, from Hyun Jun Kim, who listened last year and was so impressed with Eton's victory that he applied and now has a place at Eton for 2013. So he will be coming. Who knows, he may yet play in this match in years to come. And that ball is a repeat of the first ball, and that's defended to mid on. Well pitched up on middle and leg perhaps. He's just playing the ball on its merits, which is what you would tell him to do. Harrow having a change in the field. First slip is now gone, leaving the wicketkeeper all alone behind the stumps. He's moved himself out to a sort of short mid-wicket position.
Succumbed to the temptation of filling that gap.
Yeah, conventional mid-wicket as he walks backwards. So a proper ring of fielders from Harrow here all the way around. And it's picked up by extra cover. So no run off the first five balls of this over. Turner will be hoping that he can complete the trick and have another maiden. I think he had a wicket maiden two overs ago. So he's obviously bowling a tight line and length. Run rates just dropped below four for the first time for a while. But it's not to be a maiden, as Hayes makes room and cuts him through point comfortably for four. Ball rolls 20 yards past the boundary up towards the grandstand, and the score goes on to 113 for one. Hayes is on 12, Abbott is on 52, and the run rate now back on to exactly four and over according to the scoreboard.
As soon as you said one ball to come in the over and you'll be looking to finish this off with a maiden, I could tell you where that next ball was going to go.
Commentator's curse.
Absolutely.
Well, but suits Eton.
A good shot from Hayes. Hayes has looked good. He's looked positive since he's come in, and pretty much more of the same from Eton. The interesting thing for me is how they're going to deal with Virish Patel, who's continuing from the nursery end.
Yes, had a good first over, but bowled a tight line on or about off stump. And he comes now. And he's over pitched slightly, and that's a beautiful shot by Abbott. Turned it into a full toss and stroked it through a gap between extra cover and mid-off, neither of whom had a chance of stopping it, all along the ground for four, which moves him on to 56 and the score to 117. So
loose ball, pretty comfortable stroke that.
Consecutive fours for Eton, doing just what you would hope, defending good balls and scoring off less good balls. One is defended into the leg side, and there's no run.
There's no sign of any rain that might have been forecast. I know there were some sharp showers supposed to be around, but with the wind we've got,
I saw a dry forecast when I looked this morning. That ball is defended, nearly picked up by the bowler himself, just in front of the non-striking batsman, but it's tidied up by mid-on, who returns it to the bowler, who's already ready to come in. He bowls, it's on the stumps, defended out of the middle of Abbott's bat, straight back to the bowler, who moves just to his left to pick that up. There's no run, and they are whizzing through these overs, which is good. That's what we like to see. The crowd have gone a bit quiet. Not so much to shout about for Eton just at the moment. There's another shot, almost like the first shot of the over from Abbott, but this time the mid-off, who's fielding almost on the ring of discs marking 30 yards from the stumps at each end, picks it up. They run through for a single, and it will be Hayes to face the last ball of this over. There's a man back at long on, and there's a man at short mid wicket who picks that ball up. It's the end of the 29th over. The score is 118 for one. Abbott on 57, Hayes on 12. I wonder if he is thinking about his other innings. He's played twice at Lord's before in this match. He scored 14 last year and 17 the year before, so perhaps he'll be hoping to go a bit better than 14 or 17. Maybe he's not thinking about that at all, and he's just enjoying playing at this fantastic venue. The sun is shining and Eton are looking good. It's Abbott to face Turner, continuing from the pavilion end. That's slightly over pitch from Turner. It's a nice cover drive from Abbott. It's picked up by the sweeper on the offside. They take a single, and the sweeper comes in for Hayes. So adding to the ring of fielders, they've got 1, 2, 3, 4, all just about on the line of discs on the offside. Third man fine leg, deep square leg, mid wicket and mid on. No slips. And Turner comes in to face Hayes, who leaves it alone. It's probably a foot outside off stump.
I think Henry Hayes will just be enjoying being out there batting with Jamie Abbott at the moment, and playing a slightly more supporting role. And then if he's still there, we'll begin to see him open up as the innings wears on.
Comes in, bowls. Hayes looks to play this square of the wicket on the offside, but it just takes a bottom edge and goes straight down into the pitch. There's no chance of a run, and makes a dot against Turner, who has bowled pretty well. I'll try and not put the commentator's curse on him this time.
Since he's come on, obviously a fantastic start with a wicket maiden when you come into the attack is pretty much as good as it gets, and he's carried on from there.
So we're in the middle section of the Eton's innings at the moment. It's a 55-over game. This is the 30th over. And Harrow are, they might say, putting the squeeze on. They're trying to prevent singles, which were coming fairly easily earlier on in the innings, and keep it as tight as possible, and then ask the batsman some questions. And that's just hit Henry Hayes on his left leg and popped out to mid wicket, but now that there is a mid wicket fielder, there's no chance of a leg by. It was always going to go down leg, no chance of an LBW, but no chance of a run either. So Harrow probably fairly content with proceedings as they are going at the moment, but would certainly like to nip out one or two more batsmen before lunch, which will be taken at 1 o'clock. This time it's over pitch from Turner, and Hayes plays a classic straight drive. It's just rolled over and into the wall at the front of the pavilion. Probably missed the stumps by about a metre or so, and was never going to be stopped by either of the mid-on, mid-off fielders. So, four off the over. A lovely straight drive all the way through from Hayes.
What sort of position would we think Eton might like to be in come lunch? One down, I guess.
See, we've got 10 minutes until lunch. think they'll just settle for pottering along until the interval and make sure they try not to lose any wickets. Hit the bad ball if it comes slightly overpitched as it was. That last ball was a better length and it was defended into the leg side. There was no chance of a run, but they've still picked up four at least off the over. The score is 124 for one. Abbott is 58, Hayes is 16.
It'll be interesting to see what tactics both sides employ after the lunch break. We'll see. Many considerations for both, and 40 minutes to discuss them with various coaching staff.
Psychologically, in reality, it shouldn't make any difference that there's a lunch interval. It's just what you do at various stages of the innings. But the intervals in cricket do make a difference. People do play for lunch or play for tea and then see. It's Patel to continue. He's accurate as ever on the spot, defended by Abbott, picked up by the bowler, who's already turning at his mark. Abbott just makes him wait briefly, gathers himself, keeps his concentration going, and it's a repeat of the same thing. It's back to the bowler, who intelligently has a little backward flick of the ball at the stumps just in case the non-striker is out of his crease. Doesn't hit the stumps, so there's no chance of an appeal, but quick thinking from Patel, who's obviously keen to get on with the over, but Abbott's just thinking about a few things. Here we go. Slightly short, but Abbott tries to hit it on the offside, but it goes straight to short mid-wicket, who's fielding in line with the stumps, but quite close. So there was never a chance of a single. But I don't think the batsman will be feeling pressure at the moment, especially as he finds the gap on the leg side this time. Slightly squarer from Abbott. It's played gently out. It's fielded by the man coming in off the boundary. And the batsman jogged through for a single. So it's Hayes on 16, who plays it slightly behind square on the offside. It's picked up by the man fielding it backward point. It's all fairly calm. Batsman run through for a single, and Hayes is now on 17, which is the best he's ever done at Harrow in his previous two innings, so we'll be hoping to make significantly more than that.
Yeah, he's certainly continuing to look solid. There's two men going out now, mid off and mid on, are both going back on the boundary underneath us.
Yep.
Trying to tempt Abbott into perhaps a rash stroke.
That's defended straight back to the bowler. That's the end of the over. Now the quick over. We've had 31 overs. The score is 126 for one. And certainly Harrow will be trying to get as many overs as they can in before lunch, reckoning that Eton won't be attacking their bowling just
well,
at the moment.
I don't think they are attacking it. 8 runs off the last 3 overs. And the run rate hovering a shade above 4. So... definite slowdown period, and as I say, wouldn't expect to see that accelerate at all between now and lunch, which is in 5 or so minutes' time.
Turner to carry on from the pavilion end. He's been bowling well. Ooh. Hayes thinks about a shot. Swings through the offside, but it's a swing and a miss. Didn't really get to the pitch of that.
It's another semi-curse there.
Yeah, he's played the shot he should have played. Now, but he's still never reached the ball.
I thought he might try and just bat for lunch, and he had a big swing and a miss at that one.
Right, what's he going to do to this ball? Comes in, bowls. It's well pitched up, and it's shot through the covers by Hayes. Basically played the shot he should have played last time, and played it perfectly. Found the gap, and it's 4 more off the second ball of the over. It was a beautiful cover drive.
Lovely They'd shot.
Brought the sweeper in for Hayes, and he's found the gap, even though there were 3 men at point extra cover and cover point, I suppose, but straight between 2 of them. 4 more runs for him and 4 more for Eton, who are looking good. Now the sweeper's gone back for Hayes, so that one's a good length ball, and it's defended into the leg side by Hayes.
Of course, the other way of looking about things when you're approaching an interval is psychologically, if Eaton could, you know, accelerate the run rate for the next two or three overs, you know, psychologically to Harrow, that might make a difference as they go in, if a few boundaries go over in quick succession.
Yes, easier to say from here than from there. Now it's flicked off his legs by Hayes, but there is a fine leg fielder and it's gone straight to him, so he returns it into wicketkeeper White. Batsman jog through for a single. Score goes on to 131. Hayes on 22, Abbott on 59. Turner trying to get it just in the right. Oh, it's a slower ball, but Abbott waits for it, plays it out to the offside sweeper, and another comfortable single. So six off the over so far. This is absolutely fine as far as Eaton are concerned.
Yep, very very comfortable still. Don't think the pitch has done an awful lot since first thing this morning. A couple of balls scurried through low, but nothing much since.
It was used yesterday, which probably meant it be more likely to play steadily this morning rather than seam around. The last ball of the over is defended into the offside, so it's a second day pitch, which of course at Lord's is no problem. They're used to producing 5 day pitches here, but it probably just means that there's a little bit less life in the pitch than there might have been if it hadn't been used. We saw the heavy roller on it this morning. There's a slight lull in proceedings.
There's a debate involving the umpire going on at this nursery end.
There's obviously time for another over, and it will be Patel to continue from the nursery end. It's Abbott on strike. He's batted all morning and batted very nicely for his 60.
Now we've got a substitute fielder.
That's what's happening.
Either coming on or going off. I don't know whether that transaction happened earlier or not, but certainly one off and one on.
Harrow just trying to sort out their leg side field. They've got two men saving one behind square. One on a, just behind the umpire, and one about 15 yards to his right. This one is hit into the offside, up to mid off by Abbott, but not hit with much power, so there's time for them to run a single.
It's almost a short fine leg or leg gully position.
It's a sort of
behind the corner.
Yes, it's sort of feeling position you see when they're trying to keep four men inside the ring, but they're not doing that at the moment. They've got plenty inside the ring. And that one is tickled off his pads into the leg side, down to the man sweeping on the boundary, just gently. It rolls across the Lord's square. It's thrown in underarm by the fielder, and they take another single. So singles just helping Eaton keep things going here. Patel in, bowls slightly overpitched. Abbott's good at those shots, but it's well fielded down at mid-off, and they come through for a single. It was Ward at mid-off who slid round towards his left, otherwise saved three runs. And there's square leg that we were talking about earlier coming into the action, saving a single. Hayes has just clipped it to him, and he's picked it up and returned it straight to the wicket keeper. So two balls left in the over. This one's a bit shorter. It's played off his hips this time by Hayes, but again straight to the square leg fielder, who's obviously been put in a good position. I suppose off spinner, you'd expect players to be turning it with the spin into the leg side. This time Hayes plays a more aggressive shot, finds the gap between those two fielders and hits it for four behind square on the leg side.
That's set up nicely for a swat off the waist.
So
a bad ball from Viresh Patel.
Six off the over again, I think.
Yeah, I think we've got time for one more over before lunch.
Yeah, looks that way.
It looks like it's going to be a
change of
bowling. So Foch coming back on?
No. Unless he's changed his action.
No, very true.
We've had an email in from Mr. Fox Andrews, who's obviously an Etonian, who tells us it's coming home this year. I assume he's talking to us about the Eton Harrow match rather than England's football, which will be happening tomorrow. It's Boyd, who bowled six overs earlier and took no wickets for 25 runs, who's going to have just a crack before lunch from the pavilion end. So, right arm, fast medium, change the pace. It's defended into the offside by Abbott, and they can pick up a single there. So Eton unfazed by the change of bowling. We have got a slip in, and we've got, for Hayes, we've got a man coming in off the offside boundary, back into the ring. So we've got 1, 2, 3, 4 in the ring on the offside. Slip, third man, and then on the leg side, deep square leg, fine leg, and mid on. In he comes, it's on, middle and off, and it's a good length. Defended by Hayes, who's on 27.
Just trying to nick one out here before lunch, aren't they, Harrow? Putting the slip in. Looks like the keeper's also going to be standing up.
Right.
So just trying something different for one over with the change of bowling.
And not a bad ploy. Eton were looking reasonably comfortable, so let's see if we can do something to discomfort them. So yeah, keeper standing up, might be looking for a stumping opportunity. He has looked pretty sharp down the leg side so far, White, in his third match at Lord's. So Boyd in, that's well picked up by backward point, moving to his left. It's just played down into the ground, but there's no run.
Yeah, good stop that, Lalit Bose, that was just backward of point. Because I think that may well have been four if that got past him.
Yes, it was definitely mostly off the middle of the bat, certainly wasn't an edge. But played circumspectly by Hayes, down into the ground. Boyd probing. Hayes hitting comfortably, but straight to a fielder at extra cover. There's no thought of a run. Eton 140 for one. Well, if you won the toss, as they did, and decided to bat, that's exactly the sort of total you would have been hoping to be on come 1 o'clock. Let's see if they can see it through for the last two balls of this over. It's defended with everything in line and everything behind it. High left elbow from Hayes, out of the coaching manual. He turns around, has a bit of a chat with the wicketkeeper, who's standing up. And we reckon that this will be the final ball before lunch. I think Hayes will be just looking to defend this, but oh, just stopped partway through his run-up, Boyd. I'm not sure whether he'd lost his run-up or something had put him off anyway.
Or building the drama.
Maybe just building the drama. In he comes this time, no problem. He bowls. And it's short, and Hayes has no hesitation in rocking back and pulling it through the leg side for four through mid-wicket. So that does look like it's lunch. The score at lunch is 144 for one. Abbott is on 63. He's batted all morning. He's took the first ball and is still there at lunch. Hayes has scored 31. The only man out was Teddy James. Oh, and that last four brought up the 50 partnership off 77 balls. So Hayes has scored 31 of those 50, so a more aggressive knock from Hayes. Abbott has played the anchor role, but done it very well for his 63 not out at lunch.
Yeah, Eton will be very happy with that. A good morning's work. Just the one wicket down, and still, what, 15 overs to come. Or 20 overs to come, I should say, of the innings after lunch. Or 21. 21 overs to come after lunch. So they're in a very, very good position, and Harrow will have some thinking to do, I think, for the next 40 minutes to decide how they're going to come out after lunch.
Right, we will be back in 40 minutes' time. We're off for our lunch now, and I hope that you will be back to join us too. So, resumption soon after 1:40, and we'll see what Eton and Harrow have got to offer. Bye-bye for now.